Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another installation of the Gospel Jazz Connection, here for your listening entertainment. Well, I know it's a beautiful, where we're at in sunny California, it's a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and for those that are just getting out, we have Game 7 of the Eastern Semis, and we have Miami versus Toronto, for those who really want to know, 69-77 on the third quarter. And that's all I'm going to tell you, because those that want to watch the game throughout, it's only the third quarter, 2 minutes and 42 seconds left. That's what you get. You got to go home and watch the rest. All right. We got a great show for you lined up today. We have a young lady that's going to call in, and we're going to get a chance to talk to her. She's doing some great things. Also, you know what? Also, we have the best, I'm telling you, the best in gospel, smooth jazz, classic jazz, all for you today. So this is what we do on Gospel Jazz Connection each and every Sunday. So right quick, call a friend and tell them to listen in. You've got the hottest show on the air right now, bringing you the best. So for the next 60 minutes, sit back, relax, and watch with your ears.
AVS Media, Dad.
Hi, this is Gerald Austin of the Manhattans, and I love listening to Gospel Jazz Connection with D. Nice and Miss M.
Welcome back. Man, I just enjoyed that music. That was Sun Goddess by Ramsey Lewis, one of my all-time favorites. And call up right quick and tell a friend to join us for some fun music listening experience and some of the best interviews you can find anywhere in the world on Culturezine Radio Network. And here I am again with the hardest working woman in show business. This woman helps us set up and track down this other lady that's always in the move doing God's business. I'm talking about Miss Lady D. Lady D, you there? Hello, Lady D, you with us? Okay, well, we're trying to connect with her. I know I got this other young lady. Let me quickly introduce to you. Like I said, this lady here, when I first met her, she was beaming. And they tell me when a woman beams, there's two ways that a woman beams completely to where it just lights up her whole essence. One is during that pregnancy time. This other one is when she's filled with the Lord. And this one here is filled with the Lord. She's the president of the Inspired Company, VP Gospel Edition. Lynn was a longtime senior editor of gospel music at Urban Network. She is a 20-plus year music industry vet who heads up her own music entertainment media firm, the Inspired Company, which produces a national radio program entitled The Inspired Entertainment News Reports, heard on ABC Radio Networks. She also produces a St. Louis-based educational series, Inspired Music Entertainment Seminar. I'm talking about my friend and soon to be yours worldwide, Miss Lynn Woods. Lynn, how you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How are you?
Man, it's been a minute, but I know you out there in the forefront of the battlefield, man. It's always good to take some time to talk to you.
Well, I'm out here, you know, just trying to uplift, encourage, and inspire folks everywhere I go and through the mediums in which I operate.
And that's what we got to do, because somebody's got to shine the light in all this darkness out here now, when politically and everywhere else, you got to look at it and say, it seems to make you say, So, you know, say, when all else fails, we got to have somebody holding up the bright light, huh? So thanks for being that bright light.
Oh, you're welcome.
Lynn, you've been in the industry, and we've seen it change. So we had a chance to talk to Arthur Mitchell not too long ago, and we talked to him about some of the changes that we've seen go through. But you were around prior to that when you saw some real changes go through, from the Urban Network days to the music days, when they were dealing with record labels, as we knew record labels and record companies. And, you know, it's just been a change, but somehow you have been able to keep grounded. Let's take a small journey back and talk about some of your earlier days and how that kind of like works into where you're at now.
Well, basically, I started out in radio doing inspirational radio for what is now Clear Channel Radio, and that was in St. Louis, and then I moved to Los Angeles and still continued to do some syndicated radio there through Lee Bailey. You know, he's the one that did Radioscope.
Exactly.
So that was, yeah, so that was like in the 90s when the transitions started. And at the same time, I was working for Warner Brothers, Warner Brothers Records, and I had worked for Warner Brothers Television. And the transition started then in terms of the music entertainment business. And what was going on then is that we had these black music departments at the record labels, where you had black executives. That was one of the few departments that you could have a black executive, and a lot of African-American folks working in the industry was in the record label's black music department. And some of these executives were earning seven figures, so you had millionaire executives at that time. And then in the 90s, it's shifting, where hip-hop started coming to the forefront. And then you started seeing black music departments close down. I remember Capitol Records being one of the first ones to do away with the black music departments. And then all of a sudden there was the Urban Music Department, which came out of that. And then, you know, from that Urban Music Department, and then there was the hip-hop department. But the Urban Music Departments, you did not need to have African-American promotion reps or black executives. And you didn't need that with hip-hop either. It was just about the – anybody could talk to those folks at those radio stations, because a lot of them were playing music on pop stations. So that did away with some of our executives. So there was a change in that. And then from there, we were in the middle of, we were doing the CDs. The internet came on the scene. And now the CDs, we went from CDs to downloads. So the CD is almost extinct, except for gospel. Gospel folks still want something in their hand. And from CDs, now we've transitioned into stream, CDs, downloads, and now it's streaming. Our younger audiences tend to, they don't really cling so much to wanting to have the music in their hands. They just want to have access to it. So I've seen a transition from those perspectives, from all the way back to the CDs and the cassettes down to we just go online and listen to music through Spotify or, through Pandora and sources like that. But the gospel industry has not, they haven't moved as fast as the record, as the rest of the record industry.
But is there an advantage to that? I mean, I know that music is music, and I know with the gospel community, even some of the artists that are now coming up, you've got some new ones. Mr. Green is on the scene, and he's bringing a different flavor of these teen or young people motivated inspirational music. But you know, when Kurt came out with Stomp and some of the other ones, he was doing the crossover back then. So we knew somewhere on the horizon that was coming.
Yes, we did, because the contemporary Christian market had already done their crossover thing where their Christian music was being played on pop radio, and gospel came sometime after that. But you remember Kirk Franklin caught a lot of flack for that record. And then church and folks were trying to disown him for being a gospel artist. But the young people loved it, and it reached them. And it's about reaching the lost soul and pulling them in ways, coming up with inventive ways and different ways to pull them in. Now we're using folks, like you said, Travis Green. His is a little bit different. It's contemporary as well as hip-hop. And a lot of folks are drawn to that too. The sound, we will always, but remember this, we will always have our traditional gospel. That's not going anywhere.
Right, right. And so when Paul says, I become all things to all men that I win some, then there's something of substance to that as we look at the day with these young people coming in and the new way of listening to music. Now, you made a very poignant statement when you said as a gospel community, they're still into the CDs because they want to have something in their hands. But in, you know, looking at how quickly streaming and digital media is playing a very part of our society, people can get interviews on any of their mobile devices, their tablets, on their iPhones, on everything. So basically to have a CD to pass around, you know, so when you have so much available offline of CDs, I mean, are we going to ever get past that, or is that something that's ingrained in us to have something in our hand as gospel listeners?
The younger generation of gospel listeners, they're the ones that don't necessarily need anything in their hand. I just remember, like, in particular back in the 90s, I know you remember folks back when they had CDs and cassettes, especially if there was a choir and they needed to learn a song. You had one person go and buy the cassette or the CD and pass it all around or make copies so people could learn that.
Right.
Learn that song. But now, if I want to learn Travis Green's song, I can just go online and pull it up on YouTube or go to Spotify or Pandora, one of those, and just pull it up and listen to it that way and learn it and be able to play. If they want to plug the video in and play the video at church or something for some other, for whatever kind of gospel event that's going on for that song, you can do that too. Like you said, all these multiple platforms that we can share music, and we're reaching so many more people in this, this business of gospel, which is today a multi-million-dollar business, and it's rooted in the soul of the African-American church.
Exactly.
So, go ahead. No, and I was just agreeing with you. It's that it is indeed rooted in the soul of the African-American church, and it came out of our music that came from the spirit of slaves as well.
Now, before I make this next point, let me go here. Let me go off a line for a second here, because whenever you're looking at something that needs to be done, an agenda that needs to be put out there, whether it's political or just trying to put something new into the environment, what do? They come to our churches. Our black churches will see people you may have only heard on or seen on television, but then when it's time for their agenda to be pushed, then suddenly they make that Sunday morning appearance on the churches. So that's still saying something about the power of the black churches. You know what I'm saying? And if we do not stay ahead of the game, what is called the game now, and being able to say, okay, I may not have it, because like you were saying, back in the day when they were sharing music or whatever, now if you need to learn something, not only can you get the music downloaded, but you can also get the lyrics on there too.
That's so true. Gospel artists are starting to make their videos with the lyrics all over. I was looking at Tim Bowman Jr.'s video recently, mm-hmm. and as he was singing the song on the video, the lyrics were popping up all around him.
Wow, see, that's what mm-hmm. That's a social media influence. And also now look at
social media. You brought up a good one, social media.
It's here with us. And then also now, I looked at the back in the day when we had, you said, the black executives and this. And then we had something mm-hmm. known as black television, which was at one time BET. And so we had a black outlet for our television not too long ago. Well, in fact, last Wednesday on my television show that I do every week, we had Ova Babatunde, who is the only on CBS, the only daytime Emmy Award winner for CBS. The other one they got for CBS this time was for a writer for The Bold and Beautiful. But he got one for a guest appearance he did for Bold and Beautiful. And he came on the show and talked about different aspects of the industry and whatever. And so I watched that. Even let's talk about television for a second, because you've been involved with that too. Now where we're at now, finally they got something back. They came up with Bounce. And so one of the prolific shows they came out with was Saints and Sinners, you know what I'm saying? And when they were talking about, oh, man, this is going to replace the Empire and whatever, I said, they better come with it. But when I watched it, it became, you know, something that you wanted to watch again and again. And not only is that based there, but now I'm seeing they're bringing in a lot of the gospel artists that are actually doing performances before the shows, having the music interchanged. So we're not that far behind, but why is our growth slower per se than the mainstream? Is it that we don't want to accept it as readily, the digital age, or is it that we're still getting that quote unquote glass ceiling aspect? What is it that we're missing here, Lynn?
It's kind of hard to put a finger on it as to why gospel lags behind in the digital media world that we are in, because you know that most of these folks are hopping on Facebook. They need to get off Facebook sometime. They don't have too much friend
Right.
But they're on Facebook. They have phones. They listen to music on their phones. They watch videos. They're checking out even the videos and whatever's going on Facebook on their phone, or checking out something on Twitter. So I don't understand why they don't bring the same approach to digital media to their gospel music or church-related music as they do when they're doing other stuff, as they do if they're listening to hip-hop or something in the pop world or country world. I don't know why our folks don't do that, because they're listening to all that other music too, as well as gospel. That's kind of a hard one to put a finger on as to why they do that. I don't know if they're not taking it as seriously as they take the other forms of music, their approach to them. It just boggles me why they do that, and they do it in other areas as well.
Exactly, and I had the privilege of getting a call from Bishop Kenneth Wales not too long ago, and sitting in for one of the meetings on what they're doing as far as trying to get that hard segment of the media back online, and those were a few things that came up for discussion. But like I said, we've all been in the trenches for a while, and we were asking the same questions there. What is it? Because like I said, our youth are getting more into the church environment. They're getting more into the music aspect, but they're bringing in that concept of digital media, and I don't know if it's some way to where, for example, My partner, he has a hip-hop radio show. I've been working with him for a long time doing hosting different events. And he had an artist on last night, and this guy is hot, just like the Weeknd, one of those kind of cats. And he had a chance to talk to the guy, and he said, well, why is it now that if I'm getting some submissions for music to play, I've got to go through almost 60 different submissions to find something that's radio-worthy now with these young people? And the guy actually told him that it's not that they curse because they want to. He said in that arena they have to because the kids are only listening to those different tags and keywords and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that really, he's an old school cat. We know him. So it was like really a trip to him to have this young man. And he said, well, why don't you bridge the gap and talk to some of the old school? He said, we tried to. This young man said, we tried to, but they're not listening. They think we're stupid or whatever else. So we just gave up. And so they're trudging along in their own understanding with their own social media direction, and they're doing it as works for them as young people. But it seems like even in the gospel community, if we started listening to some of these young people and where they're going with it, the ones that really are saying something and have discussions and open the channel, maybe we as an older generation may see something that will help us bridge that divide and we can go along quicker than we're coming along now, because I know we'll get there sooner or later. We usually always do. But why labor, you know what I'm saying, with extra miles going from here to New York and taking 20 days to do it because you're having to go from state to state backwards, driving instead of just driving regularly. So, you know, that's a concern. You know, we've got to address the concern.
In reference to the two generations, you know, the teens and the 20-somethings and 30-something-year-olds versus those that are 40 and up, with that generational gap being there, and also there's a digital divide, as you mentioned, between the two. You have the generation that grew up with social media, grew up in the digital age, and then those of us that are like over 30 or 40 who actually invented it and had to step in it and learn how to move along within this. And some of the younger folks say that we're not listening to them, but also some of that's true, and then some of it they're also to blame as well with a lot of the social media that they put out. They say anything whenever they want, whatever time of day it is. And not always, there is not as much respect for the biggest, for their elders as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another reason why they may not listen. And then we as the older generation have to learn to listen, to hear that they may have something insightful to add to what we're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
That would advance the kingdom further. At least that's my perspective on that.
Right, right. Because like I said, there's something out there we're missing, but I mean, it's out there. We've got Miss M. You remember Miss M, Monica, from way back in the day. Lynn, she's here. Miss M.
This is Miss M here. I have a question for you, Lynn. Would it be possible, when you guys put together these music conferences, like Urban Network coming up, to put together a panel that has the old school artists on there as well as the young school artists mixed so they can have a dialogue on what you're talking about?
Actually, when we have those conferences, most of the panels, that you'll have younger folks on there as well as older folks, and that's the interesting thing about the Urban Network Urban Network Digital Music Entertainment Conference, the one that's coming up June the 1st through the 5th. We have our Gospel Day events on June 2nd, it's a Thursday, down in San Diego at the Crown Plaza. And we do have that. We do have that down there because sometimes it gets a little bit heated going back and forth on that. Last year we had a panel with talking about reality TV. So you had Tina Campbell on there. You had Adrian Anderson, who was with Trinity 5-7. We had an actor, Mandel Frazier, who was on one of Tyler Perry's sitcoms or shows, dramas that's on the air right now. And then you had some younger folks in digital media, like from Syntax, You had Chad Horton. So you had 20-something-year-olds. You had 30-something-year-olds. You had 40-something-year-olds. You had some 50-something-year-olds all on that same panel. And it did get quite heated, but it was very interesting to hear all the different
perspectives
about that. You were there.
I was.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we do have them.
Lady G.
But I see.
Yes.
Lady D, you there with us?
I'm with you.
You're following the conversation. We're talking with Lynn about the young people and the divide between the old school versus new school as far as the gospel artistry is concerned. And so I know you've been with us. So, I mean, you're over 20, so I know you can chime in a little bit.
Well, you know, I was hoping this year it would have been nice if Lynn to kind of got on that panel and kind of talk a little bit about some of the things. Because sometimes, you know, when people see hosts, they don't know whether they've been a part of this or what their gender is. And I think it would be nice for her to kind of say something this year. I've been kind of keeping up with it and going every year. Thanks to Lynn and thanks to Arthur for letting me be a part of that, come out there and everything. And it's just been great, you know. And, I mean, it is different. Like you said, younger generation, they make their own music now. And when we couldn't even make music, but, you know, they're a little smarter. So coming out now, they get to press a button, and now they got their music ready. And they're more bold than we were. You know, they're not scared to ask, be number one, when can I get on your radio? When can I do? They're a little bolder now. But what they don't have is the education, you know, with that. They need the education with it. It's not that simple. To them, it is. But they need to know the hard part of how you have to struggle, and then you have to do things. You know, they think they can make the money, like, right away because they're looking at TV. And I think... Even that's how my back to school is kind of similar to. I don't just give away packed backpack. I have people that's in the industry to come out and talk to them because 9 times out of 10 you don't hear young people saying I want to be a pastor when I grow up. They want to be a rapper, a singer, fashion. So I had those people there making music. One sound system the guy that writes music for Kanye when he comes out. So I have things like that because this is something that's interesting to bring them. Maybe next year we could bring. Something in for the younger generation, you know, much younger generation to come in for the Urban Network or something and bring some of those things where they can actually, you know, do a little hour session of that. And
but what we had, Dorian, what we did have, and I'm sure they're going to have it this year too, they had like these mentoring sessions where they had the 101 sessions where they had these tables in this room. So you had industry executives of folks that do powerful things in the industry, the professionals, they came into this room with high school and college students. It was like early in the morning, so probably folks, a bunch of folks didn't get up, but it was like 8 or 9 in the morning because I was sitting at a table with a group of students. So they do have it. It was just early in the morning that they had it. And another thing, Dorian, that you hit on, you said this generation wants things really, really fast and not necessarily having to put a major amount of time in it. And some of that comes as a result of being on social media. And everything is immediate. Everything is like right now, got to have it right now. And as the records that they are putting out there really, really fast, is like everybody and their mama can put a record out there now because you can get the software, you can do it all, produce it all in your house on your laptop, and put it out there, and then go to someplace like TuneCore and get it digitally distributed. And just learn how to get it on iTunes, and there you go. More of a process.
Right. Well, Beyonce showed us that when she dropped that last package she did. Then that when people saw that, that was an eye opener. I don't think the industry was ready for that. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, it could be done. And these youngsters are sitting there. It don't take them long to sit back and watch something before they try to replicate it. So I mean, so record labels as we knew it, the interaction and networking as we know it, when you said like you said, Lady D, when you can sit there at your house and get on your laptop and put something out, and then, look, I mean, do I want my million or do I want to have somebody say they represented me and take half like it's being done? You know? So I don't blame these youngsters for trying to get up and get their money. I mean, I you know, but something, there's got to be something that we can do knowing the way it was then, the way it is now, to sort of bridge the gap to where everybody feels like they're benefiting from it. If back in the day, when, or still now, when you get like a Rance Allen or you get like a Dorinda or somebody that throws a concert, whatever, right, and you look at the intake of their money, and when you look at like Deidre Catton and some of these other cats go out and throw their concerts, I guarantee you, if you look at the money and the time and the stuff that went in behind putting these tours together, there's a whole different way of doing things then and now. Somebody's got to be seeing this. Somebody's got to be able to show, look, here's how we can bridge the gap to help some of the older school people be able to reach more, you know what I'm saying, in today's world and get online. And youngsters, here's how you get to the basics of what the longevity was all about. Back in the day, it was longevity.
Yes.
Today, you could drop it today and you could be a one-hit wonder, but you made yours and go on to the next project. It's all about really longevity in this world, as both Lynn and you and Brian could attest to. There's nothing like longevity in the game.
It's also like, you know, in old school, they groom them and prepare them. But when they stopped,
yeah, they had artist development, Dorian. Remember,
right.
They had the artist development, and then now they didn't have artist development for rappers. So when they make all this money, twice as much as R&B make, they done lived their life for probably within a year time. They done went everywhere, and but they don't have the grooming. So that's why they call them women's bees and all this and that, and they curse
right.
them because they wasn't taught to not to. You don't say those kind of words. Well, we was taught back then. You couldn't even put a CD out. Album out was about saying the curse word when we were taught, so they kind of allow that, and that's why they think, you know, if I be a rapper, easy way to make money is become a rapper.
Yeah, so it's like instead of them wanting to be singers, now, you know, we were coming up, Dorian, and it was all folks wanted to be singers.
Right.
You know, they
right.
want to be something like an Aretha Franklin or Gladys Knight
exactly.
or somebody like that, but now, you're right. It's about rapping.
Is this,
and
it's more rap than it is R&B. They want
right.
to.
Exactly. And then some of your singers are bringing in rappers to rap on their joints. So, I mean, look, they're getting it. Somebody's got to wake up and say, okay, here's how we bridge that divide. Because when you like the one with the Campbell, when they were the last one that she put out there, I think has a rapper. Yeah, when she has a rapper on there. I love
I know.
God, you love God, or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that joint there. And she got the rapper. That's a tight little jam. You know what I'm saying? But see, somebody's getting it. Somebody out there is getting it. Now, if they're getting it.
I'm sorry. I was going to say some of the old school don't even share it with when the rappers want to taste test it. I've talked to some of the old school. They say, oh, no, I don't want them young ones on my CD and cursing and this and that. So then they just go to the next person. That's how Charlie Wilson and what was Ron Isley and all them, because they allowed them, Snoop and all them, to come in and that brought them back out. So a lot of people.
And yes, in order for them to stay viable, Dorian, you are right. That's what they had to do. They had to like join forces, so to speak, with the younger generation. To remain viable, because a lot of young folks didn't know who they were until they heard them on those songs with Ronald Isley and the one with Charlie Wilson.
So we're on to something. Right. Yeah, we're on to something. Go ahead.
Now they're putting R&B with gospel because Anthony Hamilton got Shirley Caesar has one coming out with Anthony Hamilton now.
Oh, that's awesome.
But Shirley's always been able to do something to remain relevant in each decade.
Exactly. That's why where she is.
She's not great.
She got good PR person backing her up and all of that.
So
we're
on to something. So doing these conversations, somehow we got to just make this more apparent and more accessible for people to see from the old school that, yeah, there is something that you can do with these youngsters, and also you're setting an example for them, too, because if they're seeing some of the younger hip-hop artists on these pieces with the older generation, but they're not having the curse, and that may make them say, yeah, you know what, I don't have to be a part of this always. Not always. I know it's not going to start up overnight, but, you know what I'm saying, they can see that there's viability and just not all the time you got to put something out, it's got to be filled with profanity. That's stupid to think that. But, you know, there's got to be a mind change. And if we do it one person at a time, one group at a time, one generation at a time, that's what we can get there. And so, like I said, with Urban Network coming on with their seminars coming on, and go ahead, you guys, and put that out again so those listening can know what it's about, where it is, and when it is. Go ahead.
This is Lynn Woods, and the Urban Network Conference, it's Urban Network Digital Conference. No, everything's digital. Urban Network Digital Music Entertainment Conference takes place June the 1st through June the 5th at the Crown Plaza Hotel, San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I am producing Gospel Day events on Thursday, June the 2nd, where we'll have panels in the afternoon starting at around 2. There will be a choir fest, which is being put together by Eddie Baltrip. And then later on, late at night, there will be a Christian hip-hop showcase that's being coordinated by Leonard Thompson. So they in the midst of all of this, you'll still have urban power panels going on in and around the gospel ones. And if you need more information on that, you can just go to urbannetworkdigital.com, click on conference, and you can see who's coming. You'll see the titles of the speakers, their pictures, names, and some of everything is there. You'll find out information about registration. It'll also be there, too. So, again, if you want to find out more about the Urban Network Digital Conference, just go to urbannetworkdigital.com, click on conference, and you'll have some of everything that you want there. But we always have a great time. The panels are phenomenal.
Yes, they are.
Dorian and Daryl, you know, and you all know all about that because you've been to them.
Yeah,
and
I love them.
Been there, too, so you all... be nice. You all know about the panels and the showcases. As a matter of fact, like Mary got their big breakthrough with the Urban Music Programmers at the Urban Network Conference in the year 2000. We it was their first.
We were there.
First album.
Yeah, we were there.
We were there, weren't we? And it was a tax conference. We were in Palm Springs. They had that was a brand new group, and they performed Shackles and blew everybody away, and it's been on ever since.
Amen.
Yes. So it can happen. It can happen. And like I said, you know, I know you said from the 1st to the 5th, right? So that's that Thursday through that Sunday, right?
Wednesday.
It opens on a Wednesday. We start our event things on Thursday. So most of the people come, like, on Thursday through Saturday.
Okay. Got you.
So Thursday through Saturday, but it does open on a Wednesday, just to let you know that. So some people like to come like on Wednesday evening or Wednesday night so they can get up on Thursday morning and start with the panels.
Okay, I got you. So we're going to do some coverage down there from Gospel Jazz Connection. We'll be down there just lighting it up because that's some interesting conversation you brought. And there's something we can just take with us and formulating what we need to do with these young people in the future. Because you know what? That is our future. Like digital media,
right.
We're talking to Arthur, you know what I'm saying? He was talking about some of the things that he was presenting back in the day before we even looked at digital media the way we are now. And so it's almost prophetic. But it's not going to stop. It's going to keep on growing, and these young people become aware of the need. Whenever there's a need, then you got to find they got to find the solution. So what I'd like to see is as they're finding a solution, that they reach back and have enough respect for our generation to say, look what I found. And we have enough respect for their generation to say, okay, you know what, let me listen. Let me sit down and see what you got. And you know what, something just like Charlie Wilson, the rest of you say that you've named that are sitting there saying, that sounds good. Let's try this. It may not have been broken ground yet, but let's try this. And so we become an inspiration to the next generation while they can inspire us, because these youngsters, man, they're full of ideas if we just sit back and listen and give them the opportunity to know that we respect them, and that helps them to be more accountable. That's what they lack, what we had to. We had to have accountability back in the day. Now there's no accountability. You know, when you can sit back and do what you want to in the privacy of your own house and release it, and we don't even know what's happening until it hits the airwaves, then where's the accountability? You know?
You're absolutely right. Totally agree with you.
This is what we're trying to do. And so I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, Lynn. Lady D, it's always a pleasure. And thank you for being out in the field and bringing quality to us like Lynn. And you guys, look at your calendar. Whatever's on there from the 1st to the 5th, put it to the side. You know what I'm saying? Because you need to be down at this conference. You need to find out what's going on, because digital media is here to stay. And if you find out how to implement this into every aspect of your life, and believe me, it's workable into every aspect of your life. If you learn how to put it in every aspect of your life, not the one that runs you, but you can run it, then you too will be able to chart your own destiny. So this is Dean Ice. I'd like to thank Ms. Lynn Woods for taking the time. Lynn, thanks a lot for sharing with us.
You're welcome.
How can they reach you?
You can reach me two ways. You can email me at linwoodsinspired@yahoo.com. It's L-I-N, Woods, W-O-O-D-S, inspired@yahoo.com. You can also go to linwoodsinspiredmedia.com.
Lady Dean? Hello, Lady Dean, how can I reach you?
They can reach me at, they can go to my Facebook and they can inbox me if they need any information about different things in the gospel. Also, they can go to my email, which is edwardsdorian, D-O-R-E-A-N, @yahoo.com.
Ladies, thank you for taking your time out of a busy Sunday to join us, and we look forward to seeing you at the conference on June 1st to the 5th. In San Diego. Until then, be blessed. Thank you a lot. We'll hear from you real soon. I'll be down there covering it. You best believe me. Thanks, ladies.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless.
You're listening to Culture Zine Radio Network. This is Dean Ice. Take it away, Miss Sam.
Are you looking to build your online presence and increase your landing page visits? You need JDS Online Marketing. We offer the services you need to maximize your online exposure without breaking the bank. We specialize in social media management, website creation, target marketing, and most important, brand SEO. Take advantage of our free consultation by logging on to jdsonlinemarketing.com. That's jdsonlinemarketing.com, your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. You've been listening to the Gospel Jazz Connection on UltraZine Radio Network. This is D-Nice saying, put God first, and everything else will follow, I guarantee it. I'd like to thank our guest today, Miss Lynn Wood, and also Lady D. And we'd like to enthusiastically invite everybody out to the Digital Music Conference Urban Network on the 1st through the 5th of June. I want to see your face in the place. Me and Miss M will be there. We'll be doing some footage and some coverage. So come up and say hello, shake a hand, and we'd like to reach out and touch. So call up and tell a friend that you found a place where you can land every Sunday from 2:30 to 3:30 and hear the best interviews and hear the best in smooth jazz. This is the Gospel Jazz Connection with D-Nice and...
And this is Miss M, and I hope I'm going to see you guys this weekend, too, at the Hyatt Newport Jazz Festival. They're going to have Michael McDonald, Jonathan Butler, Peter White, and Stephanie Mills, and that's just a few. And then the following week, on June 11th through the 12th, we got the Playboy Jazz Festival. I'm there both weekends. Look out for me and holler at a sister. This is Miss M and D-Night saying good night.